East Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And we'll never rest again.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. Coming up this morning at 8 on Positively Revolting, Ani welcomes Lynn's return to talk to renowned storyteller Michael Mead about his latest book, Awakening the Soul, Deep Responses to a Troubled World. At 9, Pacific Underground covers the untold stories of Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Northwest. At 10, Valley Views looks at the solutions to the housing and healthcare challenges in Lynn and Benton counties. At 10:15 is Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, and at 11, a Radio Geekly discusses the summer convention season, plus reports from Wizard World, Geek Girl Con, and more. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Portland Saturday Market. 45 years of handmade arts and crafts, freshly prepared international foods, and local music in downtown Portland, featuring live music and Kids Corner events. Portland Saturday Market every Saturday and Sunday in Waterfront Park now through Christmas Eve. Event schedule, vendor information, and more information is available online at portlandsaturdaymarket.com.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
And good morning, good morning. The time is 3 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. And you
almost said two.
I almost did say two. I almost did. It's true. Time, it blurs. Time, it's a concept. It's a concept I'm not so familiar with right now. But here it is, 3 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. And this is Positively Revolting here on your community radio station. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And I'm super excited to say, welcome back, Lynn.
Hi. Nice to see you instead of just in your living room.
Yes. Here, we're someplace more officious. And we welcome you back, dear listener, for another week of discussion around topics that are meaningful and relevant to our lives here on KBOO, your community radio station. So this morning, we're super excited to also welcome back to the airwaves Michael Mead. Michael is a storyteller, an author, a mythologist, a psychologist, a poet, and an all-round amazing human being.
Yeah, you know, as the years go by, we just don't have enough time to talk about everything he's done, because then we won't be able to talk about what he's doing now.
It's true.
Because we only have an hour.
Welcome back, Michael. We're going to try that.
Or not. Maybe we do have more time for your intro. I don't know.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
How am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm basically well.
All right.
A little on the tired side. from maybe doing too many events or something of the kind?
I think we understand.
Well, I hope you get to be home and recharge your soul.
And speaking of souls, we're really grateful to have a chance to talk with you again because, well, you know, the world is spinning. It's obviously a world in crisis. We have the devastation of the physical world, the world that's being devastated through environmental exploitation and destruction. We also have the hurt and the harm writ large in the lives of people who live in danger zones and war and forced relocation areas, who are facing all manner of injustices from seemingly small but persistent to gigantic life-threatening crises, and who are just ground down by the injustice of daily violence, of racism, of sexism, of poverty, of bigotry. And in all of this, for those of us living through it, it feels like the world is spinning out of control. It feels very much like, whoa, these must be the end times. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And so when I was reading your newest work, Awakening the Soul, you start with a fragment of writing from 4,500 years ago in the tale of the world-weary man. And it was so resonant that it really highlighted to me the cyclical nature of crisis, the cyclical nature of our world, and sort of the cyclical nature of being. And so I wanted to sort of start with that we often in this culture sort of think, that time is some sort of linear progression. We started someplace and we've marched on consistently until we are here. We are at the pinnacle of all creation. And maybe, you know, if we survive another generation, that will be the pinnacle. But we don't see things in cycles, right? We're just always slogging onwards. And I wanted to sort of maybe start our conversation with a little look at maybe things have happened before and we've persevered. We've come through them somehow. Yeah.
Yeah, I think mythic imagination takes us in that direction. And stories, the great stories of the world, they're all about disaster. They're all about impossible tasks. And so not to take away the actual pain of being alive right now and the confusion and the intentional distortions, but at the same time, something about the human soul has persisted through this kind of thing happening again and again. So I started the book with that. It's a fragment of a papyrus scroll from 4,500 years ago. And I read it, translations of this, you know, the scribe wrote this thing about his world falling apart and everything being upside down and violence and all this kind of stuff. And it sounds like the latest, you know, rap song.
Right.
In the sense that it's so immediate. And so that was my way of saying for the soul, we've always been in this moment. In one sense, yeah, time marches on. In another sense, time really doesn't exist completely. And in the time of the soul, it's kind of always the last minute. It's always, am I going to stand up for my real self? It's always, am I going to take the next step in my genuine life? And so that's the moment I'm interested in.
Do you think we could get past that?
Get past it in what sense?
Well, in that, it just reminds me of, in therapy, sometimes, you know, you're in a survival mode. Everything is about survival. And that tends to be, as humans, we end up getting stuck in survival. And we never work through what caused us to get there.
Well,
does that make sense?
It makes sense at one level, right?
Yeah.
But from the level of the soul, the world is always at the moment of, if you want to see it growing, it's at the moment of creation. If you want to feel it more tragically, it's at the moment of loss. I think there's a trick in the idea of literal progress. I mean, there's progress in many ways, but
right.
I think a few
right.
people are left behind, and I think they're getting elected a lot.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then there are people voting for regress.
Yeah.
So it kind of tells you that there's both going on. But where I think I really wound up in writing the book was I think we're going to be in hard times for a while. I'm not wishing that on anyone. What I'm really looking at is, like you said, or you were both saying, the biggest crisis probably in the world is the climate, environmental mm-hmm. crisis, because it is so it's worldwide, it's sweeping, and it can turn things upside down in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next biggest crisis is humanitarian crisis, which is affecting the entire world at the level of culture.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've got interested in the third crisis, which is the crisis of truth and meaning. Hmm. And so the book, the premise of the book is, if we can't figure out a different way of living truth, we're not going to solve the other two crises. If someone's soul isn't awakened, they can stay in the place of thinking because someone else is different than I am, they're less than I am. To me, that's an unawakened position. And so I think of crises as the conditions in which the soul tries to awaken. And then in the book, I try to take a look at it from two kinds of views. One is the individual soul, which, as people used to say, all of history is made in the awakening of the individual soul. And then the other is the soul of the world, that because the world is in crisis, there's something instinctive in our own souls, if we allow it to be, that wants to contribute to the healing of the world. And then, to me, that makes the moment of worldwide crisis meaningful. And so in the book, I try to argue that meaning is actually the nutrition of the soul. And when they try to say there is no truth, then what's happening is they're denying the soul. And to me, that's the maybe the biggest crisis is the loss of soul in the world, imagining soul as what connects us all.
And so that's
and replacing it with material gains, not even material gains necessarily, but an old paradigm.
I want to kind of back up though and say, what is the soul?
Ah, fine question.
So the usual distinction, in order to get at the idea of soul, is that spirit is trying to rise. Spirit is above. It's connected to fire and air. And spirit keeps saying, you know, let's do it. Let's get above it. Let's rise. Let's get better. That's all kind of spirit talk, in a way. And soul is connected to earth and water and trying to descend. And so soul is saying, while we're imagining these great things, let's get ourselves really grounded. And so spirit moves towards the one, the universal, and soul moves towards diversity and multiplicity the way nature does. And so then you can also say that spirit tends to be masculine, more like the sun, which is kind of steady state of brightness, and the soul is more like the moon and more feminine, and therefore more alert to change, more connected to body, and more connected to diversity and multiplicity. So soul is that which would have us descend in order to incarnate more fully, to be more genuinely alive, to be more inhabited in our body, to be more living with purpose. And soul is also the connective tissue of nature and of human culture.
I want to remind listeners that you are tuned to KBOO, your community radio station. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani. I'm here with Lynn this morning. We have Michael Mead joining us by phone. And I want to also let you know, of course, you can like us on the Facebook. You can follow us throughout the week. You can also follow us in the Twitterverse. We're Positively Revolting on Facebook. We're Positive Revolt in the Twitterverse. And, of course, you can always email us positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. We're talking with Michael Mead, renowned mythologist and storyteller. He is going to be coming to town to speak at the end
of
this
month. Not that it's great not to just talk to him, but he has a purpose.
Yes, it's true. And we can talk a little bit more about that event coming up, as well as Michael's new book, Awakening the Soul. This is also KABU's fall membership drive. So this is your time to support KABU Community Radio. And I'll give that phone number out. It's 877 877- 800-500-5266. Do support Cable Community Radio and help us raise the money we need to continue to go strongly into the future, whether it's cyclical or not. We need to just sort of continue the work of building connections with our communities and moving that discussion forward so we can hopefully have a positive impact on our own lives and on the world around us. So, you know, as Lynn was saying, we are often sort of distracted in the materialistic world. And it's an issue I kind of want to spend some time on. You know, it's like we have the sort of mechanistic philosophy of the world. And it is sort of the Western, the modern era of, the world is a sort of a mechanical thing, right? That we can use the resources that are on this planet. We are born, we do things, we die, and it is lacking of meaning. It is very much just sort of a sort of what's the word I'm looking for? The steampunk, the clockwork world, right? And so that seems to me to be evidence of a real lack, a real that's how I see that we are missing our collective soul, that we do not recognize the meaning and the sacred nature of our lives and the life of this world that sustains us all. Can we talk about the distraction and the shiny and how that sort of keeps us away from going deeper within ourselves?
The whole Western adventure at this point is about speed and brightness, invention, innovation, but only at a, like you're saying, at a clockwork technical level. There's more and more technology. There's going to be more. They've gone wild with it. And everybody is, increasingly left isolated with their own devices. And that isolation is loss of soul. Connectedness, soulfulness, comes from being, feeling the presence of each other, the presence of nature, all that kind of stuff. Soul is also about what we naturally love, who we love, and how we love. So all the shiny objects distract us from the fact that we'd rather be standing in the middle of a forest inhaling the life of the trees and communing with that or whatever it is for the individual person. And so as the kind of, there's an erosion of agreed upon reality, which is partly connected to the turning upside down of the world at the level of climate and at the level of culture, we have to hold on to something. People who don't know they have a soul usually grab an ideology to hold on to, and they grab something that says this is the right thing and we're the right people and we're going to elect strong right people. And that indicates to me loss of soul, loss of understanding. We are carrying inside ourselves in a sacred kind of miraculous way instinctive connections to the world around us, and that when trouble really comes down, and it's coming down, it's going to keep coming down, the kind of proper response is from the depth of the soul. The thing lacking in culture overall has to be rekindled in the depth of the individual. Not that we don't figure out the right way to vote and figure out, meaningful ways to sustain community at a kind of ground level, but more importantly, that we awaken that which is deep in the soul, which throughout history and so on has responded to the great crises. That a great crisis is a challenge to the culture, and it's a challenge to the imagination of the individual.
We will let's continue to think about that, and we're going to invite Teresa onto the airwaves.
Good morning.
Good morning, Teresa. Teresa's here to help us actually harness support for this community radio station, and that is by becoming a member of KABU right now, calling 877-500-5266. Isn't that right, Teresa?
Yes, it's time to get your hoodie. We have your size, 877-500-5266. Great thing about listening to Michael Mead is taking these pebbles that he leaves and letting them turn in your mind slowly into jewels. Meaning is the nutrition of the soul, if I wrote that down correctly. I love that. Soul is also, he said, what we naturally love, who we love, and how we love. Pretty nice jewels.
I know, that's my favorite definition, yeah.
That's Lynn. Lynn's back. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Hi, Keith. So, Teresa, don't we have some books and tickets for Michael Mead to give away?
Do we?
We do. And Teresa will find out about that while I can go ahead and give that information.
All right.
All right. So we do, in fact. Michael is the author of a very new book. It has actually yet to be released. It'll be released in the next few weeks.
The ink is still damp.
Awakening the Soul. And this is... this is a book that you can get with as a thank you gift when you contribute to Positively Revolting this morning. And you can do that for, if you can contribute $60, you can do it $5 a month, you can do it $60 all at once, however you can do it. We would love to thank you by providing you with a copy of this book. We do have a pretty limited number, so please do call now. Do not wait for the last moment, 877-500-5266.
Okay, now I have the information.
And there's also tickets to this event, so you can get a copy of the book. And you can get two tickets to...
The event is Truth and the Living Soul. It's going to take place on Thursday, September 27th from 7 to 9 at the First Unitarian Church, where many great things take place, at 210 Southwest Main Street. And if you... I feel like I'm talking about some musical group, but if you haven't seen Michael Mead live, it's a great experience, and you'll start knowing about what your soul is about.
And when you contribute at $120 level, that's $10 a month or $120, we would like to thank you with a copy of the book and a pair of those tickets.
Yep.
So that's, again, the way to do that is calling us at 877-500-5266.
And if you have 10 bucks this month, you'll probably have 10 bucks next month. So you can be a sustaining member for KBOO. And I think you know how important that is. Or you could get a hoodie. But I'll dial down on the book right now. 877-500-5266 is the number. The last four digits spell out KBOO, so it's easy to remember. 877 is toll free. 500-5266. We'd love to get your call right now. Now, you know, other things are going to happen today after this moment. Things are just going to keep rolling along, and you're going to forget if you don't call in right now. So this is, it's got to be you, and it's got to be right now. 877-500-5266. I'm talking to you, White Salmon. I'm shouting out to Vancouver, Salem, Hillsborough, Troutdale. We pay the extra bucks to get the 25,000 watts to go out to you because you are part of the KBOO audience. This is the time to join. 877-500-5266. Why not get the whole package for 10 bucks a month, Awakening the Soul, your copy, and two tickets to the event on the 27th of this month. That's $120, just 10 bucks a month. That's three minutes on the phone with us, and we'd be so glad to get your call right now. It would fire us up.
It's true, and it gets us off to a great start here on this beautiful Friday morning. It's the second day of our fall membership drive. Please do give us a call right now. We are talking with Michael Mead. His latest book, Awakening the Soul, A Deep Response to a Troubled World. I was reading it over the last couple of weeks, and I tell you, just the introduction, I'm sitting there slapping Teresa, who is sitting next to me, because in fact, you know, full disclosure, Teresa's my partner, and I'm like, no, listen to this.
Wait, listen to this. I want to go to sleep.
And it was, you know, because, Michael, you have such a way of encapsulating the tragedy and sort of horror that is going on around us in the world, and then not just sort of leaving us there. It's like, oh wow, yeah, these things are super bad, hope somebody does something, but to actually look at more the root cause, like, why have we behaved this way together, what is going on, and how can we actually find our own strength instead of just turning to despair at these times. So I found this to be an incredibly important book, and I really do hope that folks will take an opportunity to pick it up and read it. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to join KBOO Caribou this morning. Let us know you're there and that you give a damn about yourself, your community, and the world. Give us a ring at 877-500-5266 or online. You can also contribute at KBOO.FM. As Teresa was saying, if you put it off, you know you get busy. You know the day just sort of comes at you. Take a moment being thoughtful about the impact you can make in your community right now by calling 877-500-5266 and saying yes to your community radio station.
KBOO Portland, it's 824 and it's membership drive. Time for you to call 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266, and back to Michael Mead, Civilly Revolting.
All right. So, Michael, I know, and many, maybe our listeners don't, that you are from Hell's Kitchen in New York. So, and you grew up with the Orange Cheeto, otherwise known as Donald Trump, around. And, of course, everyone in New York understands who he is. I think of you as these, not adversaries, but I've never seen a more soul-killing human being.
Well,
and I know everybody keeps saying this is so unprecedented. I'm like, it's just what it is, people. Let's deal.
Yeah, this is someone who lost his soul early on. And, I mean, you know, the psychologist can go into figuring all that. And maybe there's a grain somewhere of humanity left still in there. But being protected by family to begin with, by wealth, and now by office, he's managed to get to the top of the, you know, culture's structure. And I think of him as the symptom of the culture that everybody elected, not everybody, but people decided to elect the symptom. And so he sits there and kind of rages there as the narcissistic symptom of someone who's out of touch with their own soul and therefore can't imagine that other people have any value. And of course, he wants loyalty from everyone, but he's not loyal to anything himself. He's kind of the raging lost soul in a way. And so to me, he's symptomatic of what's wrong overall. And so he's going to continue to act that out until someone finds the intelligence and the courage to stop it. But then he's gone at some point, sooner hopefully rather than later, and we're left with the mess, not just his mess, the mess that we, you know, there's an old idea that our soul picks the time it wants to come to the world. No one can prove it right or wrong. But what's interesting about the idea is the second part of it is that we come to the world at a time when we have something to give to the world. And so that's something I keep on my mind. How do each of us find a way to give to a world that, almost like Trump, is raging with fires and with overheating and global warming and all that, and is also turning upside down moment to moment? How do we find something to give? And towards the end of the book, I'm working on this idea called living in truth. And what that means to me and how I got to it is I know I'm going to die one day, and I know being older now, it's closer rather than further away.
Right.
And so where do I want to be when that time comes? I want to be walking on the path that my soul intends for me to walk on. Walking in the truth of my own soul.
Yeah.
And so that's where I want to be. And so that's, but the other part about that is, so then if you're born into the world at this time, you're basically told you're a speck in a vast universe that's right. Accidental.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore everybody's accidental,
yeah.
Which is really disheartening. But the old idea says, no, pay attention to the old stories. Everybody's born with a bit of uniqueness in them, a genius quality in their soul. Everyone has purpose. Everyone has aim. And so then you say, okay, but my purpose has to do with I love growing things. I love things that come out of the ground. How can that affect the big problems of the world? Well, it turns out it does affect the big problems because someone who has that kind of love in them, that kind of erotic connection to the world, could be helping to spread permaculture throughout the world, which is, you know, a brilliant way of connecting to the earth and feeding people and not being part of the destruction of the earth. And so what I think happens, if a person can be living the genuine path of their own soul, they happen to intersect with places where they can affect the environment and their local community. And that's what it's about. It's not about, you know, winning or being right or being on top. I have a section in the book about how upside down that is, that we're here to descend further into who we are, and becoming who we are has a beneficial effect not just on us but on people around us and on the soul of the world. That's the argument of the book.
Absolutely. Because doing something that's true to you, I don't just mean doing something as a career, but just living your life in a way that's true to you, expands so far. I think people think that's just a little, oh, I'm just doing blah, 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 but it expands like if you want to look at the atomic bomb, how that those pictures kind of expand way out. Well, that's sort of how I think of someone who's only not in a, you know, too hot, destructive way, but just it tends to really expand to the
expansive
rest of the
energy,
people.
Yeah.
It's the antidote to the explosive condition.
Right.
Is the expansion of the soul, which connects and ultimately soothes. You know, it soothes and makes the sense. I mean, the whole idea of cable and community radio is that we're all in this together, and everybody has to learn better how to keep in touch with each other, which is another function of soul, keeping in touch, and then encourage the genuine growth of the uniqueness of each soul. Because I also think about young people coming along, and some of us went through troubles growing up, and, you know, through the 60s in my case and so on. But imagine someone stepping into the world now. It's terrifying.
I know. I feel so bad for them.
Because also in the book, the other thing I try to make a distinction is between the destructive would-be elder and the life-enhancing elder. That, so another way to look at Donald Trump is we have elected the destructive elder and put him in charge. He has to destroy people's lives. He has to destroy
I think
cultural
of that all
institutions.
The time.
Yeah, he has to. And so there's the illness, or there's the symptom, there's part of the sickness. And then I think the question is, where's the antidote? And to me, it is a straight line from those who have lost soul and are somehow okay with the idea of separating children from parents and all the kind of soulless things that are happening. The antidote is to grow our own soul, our individual souls, and encourage the growth of the souls of each other. And then I'm using mythic imagination that says that each soul has a path, has a purpose, has an aim. And so by growing more soul, we're giving support to the aim and purpose of each other. And somewhere we begin to meet, you know, in the world that we want to be in.
Yeah, you write that in hard times, inner changes must precede changes to outer circumstances, and that the saving grace for the modern prison of literalism and nihilism can be best found in a movement toward the visionary capacities of myth and imagination. Can we talk about the loss of our imagination?
Yeah, let's just watch the Supreme Court judge hearings.
Oh,
let's watch
yes.
the Kavanaugh hearings. Is there any imagination in it whatsoever? I mean, here's someone who's likely to get put in because of politics, but for the rest of his life, we'll be making judgments that affect everybody's life, and no one's checking out whether he has an imagination, and no one's even bringing imagination to the argument, or they're trying, you know. But, I mean, the problems are trying to be solved at the same level at which they arrived. In order to really solve a problem, we have to go to a different level. And so the core power of the soul, besides eros or love, is imagination. And the only way out of these huge problems, just what happens to me is every day I look at it and I say, there's not the whole operation and all the systems inside politics and economy, for that matter, are based on a surface level of exchange of goods and ideas. And the problems supersede that. They're so great that even if you could clean house and put a new bunch of people in, which I'm kind of in favor of, but the issue is could those people stir up enough imagination to try and figure out what do we do as, you know, individual humans and as would-be communities to deal with the huge sweep of climate change and all the dangers involved in that, and then the huge turning over of cultural ideas. You know, that so I think even when you take away the problems and problematic people that are present now, we're still going to be facing this huge thing. And the only thing equal to it that I've ever found is the human soul, which is secretly connected to the soul of the world and can contribute to the healing of the world, but also draw energy from the soul of the world. So that's my best shot as I'm stumbling through the midst of the storm as well.
Right. You know, it seems like one of the things that our shiny devices and these things are hypothetically connecting us, yet isolating us at the same time, one of the things that the internet and satellite communications and all these new technologies have brought us is the ability to know in pretty much real time what is happening across the planet. And so whether that is the devastating effects of climate change and flooding or monsoons or hurricanes or any of that, or the droughts and the fires, whether it's that or whether it's the ethnic cleansings and genocides, Lincoln, the Rohingya situation, or forced relocations and refugees in Syria and the bombings and war zones and... Right, so we know all of these things.
But I don't know where my cat is.
But maybe we have very limited ability to impact them. And I'm wondering, I feel very strongly we have a responsibility to know what's going on. But at the same time, how do we balance that with not being completely overwhelmed with feeling powerless to affect change?
Yeah, I'm with you. And one of the problems that I keep seeing is the hero's myth or the hero idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Trump is still running on that. I'm the only one who can fix this. The strong man, the kind of idea that there's a heroic response. And I think that...
And nothing he does is wrong. He has absolutely...
Well, that's the hero's response.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's... It's like the extreme symptomatic presentation of negative heroics. And so heroics got us into a lot of these things. You know, it's a heroic idea that the earth is here to serve us. And so we, it seems to me that we have to accept on one level we're each a small speck in this huge, endless universe. On another level, though, in each soul there is a spark of the original star that burst into the universe. However, whatever story each person wants to tell about it, we are secretly connected to the center of the whole thing. One of the things I love is dreams. And so I've studied the dream ways of working with dreams from all different cultures. And there's a small tribe along the Amazon River that says that when we fall asleep at night, our body soul goes to sleep, and our dream soul travels to the center of the cosmos, where it gets a message that it tries to bring back into the world. But when the dream soul comes back into the body, it has to use the language of that person's life to deliver the message. And so, to me, it's just fantastic that a small tribe, until, whatever, 30, 50 years ago, not connected to this swirling world we're in now, had the idea that they were each connected to the center of the cosmos. And so in the book, I use the old Western story that's mostly forgotten that says the same thing. We're a small speck in a huge, endless universe, but we're a purposeful small speck, and we're secretly connected to the center of the cosmos. To me, and not heroically, by virtue of the soul, that our connectivity to each other is based in a connectivity to nature and a connectivity to the cosmos. And if we make a small change that can affect things in some distinct way, that's our job. Changing the world begins by inside the soul, not by agreeing on something outside.
I can't remember what philosopher, maybe it was you, that said changing the universe is an inside job.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think about that. I know that you, I am sure, have many people say you're their hero. And don't you just want to say, be your own hero?
It's absolutely. People have said to me for years, why don't you do trainings? And people could train how to, I don't know what they want to train. What they say is train to do what you do. And I say, no, I want to train people to do what they do.
Yeah.
That's really simple. It's really, this idea of the uniqueness of the soul is the most revolutionary thing I've found. In other words, when people vote for a narcissistic, extremely disturbed, historically ineffective, destructive person, it tells me they're not connected to themselves. I mean, yeah, I have the advantage of growing up in New York and knowing that Donald Trump has been destroying things since probably adolescence. But people could tell that just by observation, by the fact, the lack of compassion and all the destruction he tries to inspire and division. People could tell if they were better connected to their own self. Mm-hmm. The missing thing, I've done all this work with youth at risk and all kinds of, you know, people suffering trauma.
Right.
And always the missing thing is the realization is I am already valuable as I am, who I am, if I can only trust that and manifest it. And I think that's the way that we affect real change, because we don't want to come out of it with a better economy. That's okay if it happens. Or even a better structure in the government. That's okay if it happens. I think we want to come out of it as meaningful individual beings who can walk to the door of death saying, I lived in the best way I could in terms of contributing meaning to life and being a genuine expression of myself.
And, you know, I've seen that in your workshops, and we haven't mentioned yet that the Sunday after the evening event, the few speaking, you're going to have a workshop about the agents of creation. And these are wonderful, and you get to sort of watch people change and be part of that change yourself. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's on the Saturday, I think.
It is Saturday. You're right. You all right?
Yeah.
I need to put my glasses on.
That's all right.
So now I guess we get to
Let's go ahead and bring Teresa back into the conversation. We are talking with Michael Mead, and this is Positively Revolting, your community radio station. This is Positively Revolting. You're on KABU this morning. I'm Ani. I'm here with Lynn. Yes. Welcome back, Teresa.
877-500-5266. You heard the phone ringing and people have been calling in. We're doing good. Ted has called in. And Shabbat has called in. Thank you, Shabbat. And Sue and Helen have called in.
About that noise so early in the morning.
That's a lot of cowbell, Teresa.
I know.
Exciting.
But, well, it's a pretty exciting
program.
It is.
It's
exciting. I wrote down a couple more pebble jewels. The antidote is to grow our own souls, he said. And he said, in each soul is, I love this one, a spark of the original star that burst into the universe.
Yes.
Wow. So you need this book. He's written a book, and you can get the book and two tickets to the event on the 27th, which is called Truth in the Living Soul. Is that right? And,
yes, it is.
And you can be entered into a drawing in which we will give away a pair of 2 theater guest passes and 2 medium popcorn passes from Hollywood Theater, and a $50 gift certificate to Tin Shed Cafe, which is a lot of booty, by calling now, 877-500-5266. You're going to love the book. If you like the quotes, imagine a book full of them. 877-500-KABU. That's 877-500-5266. Hey, you, if you got 3 minutes, call us, 877-500-5266. You just need 2-3 minutes. You can pull over if you're on your way to work right now. Just pull over, be safe, and take a deep breath and call us on that little snitch in your pocket, 877-500-KABU, 877-500-5266. Lynn and Ani, the antidote is to grow our own souls. I think you can start by joining your community radio station. Am I right?
Well, you know, I mean, I always
think
it's
fertilizer.
It's important. It's important to actually be a part of something bigger than yourself, right? And as we talk about the crises of the world and how isolating they can be, and how isolated and alienated many of us feel, KABU Community Radio has a way of connecting people. I know that it did for me when I was 12 years old and thinking I was the only one, the only queer kid, the only kid that was different, the only this, that, and the other thing. And I actually heard on KABU, maybe I wasn't the only one. And I really kind of think KABU literally saved my life and got me on this path that I'm on even still. And that is the power of connectivity. That's the power of hearing each other's stories. That's the power of reaching out and saying that we are all in this together. And that is ultimately the message that we carry forth every week here on Positively Revolting, our talk radio program here on KABU. And when you dial 877-500-5266, you are contributing to the strength of that connection. You are helping people stay connected and hear each other, experience each other's stories and cultures. And right now, when you contribute $10 a month, $120 over the course of a year, we would love to thank you with a pair of tickets to see Michael on the 27th, as well as a copy of the latest book. That would be Awakening the Soul. You've heard us talking about it. It's an incredible book. I have to say, I have loved reading it. And I always want to thank Michael for his time, because in fact, we always appreciate these conversations. I think you were last on, Michael, maybe a year ago, and it was like, wow, okay, so that's happening, and now we're in this whole new disjointed through the rabbit hole kind of world. And now it's like daily, it just sort of seems to get a little bit deeper and a little bit weirder. And so it's so important to be able to have these conversations about finding that deep resource within ourselves to help pull us out of this crisis and to help fix it together. So I thank you for your time here on KABU, and I also want to thank you for your work in the world, and I want people to call and support the effort that connects us right now, and that is KABU Community Radio. The number is 877-500-5266. Any final thoughts from you, Teresa?
When the going gets weird, say it with me: the Weird Turn Pro.
That's true.
I believe that was Hunter Thompson.
Yes, it was. 877-500-5266. Okay, jokes aside, it's pretty satisfying to join and be a part. You'll see that once you do join. Take 3 minutes. Call us right now. 877-500-KABU. 877-500-5266. And now more Michael Mead.
Thanks, Teresa.
So everybody knows the origin of weird, right?
No, come on, Mr. Word. Give us.
the oldest meaning of the word weird is to have one foot in each world. That one foot in the daily world, now turned upside down, and the other foot in the world, the other world, the Irish used to call it, the world of great imagination, the world from which everything arises. And so we're supposed to get more weird as the older we grow. That our job is to become kind of agents of the weird. And so that feeling that many of us had, that you were talking about being 12 years old or 13 or 15 or whatever it is, and saying, God, I'm weird, I don't even want to go out there. Then, you know, that weirdness is the uniqueness of ourselves, and we're supposed to become more weird. So when you're looking, you know, for like an elder, the old idea, you're not looking for someone who looks normal or might fit in well. You're looking for someone who looks unique and is truly weird. So.
Yeah, it's like that you want someone to go out there with you who's an elder who's like, yeah, I know, I don't care. Come on, let's go.
That's right. I've been in that lost place. I've felt rejected. I've rejected myself, and I decided to keep going and turn into myself, and that turns out to be the weirdest thing to do.
And
that's kind of awesome.
Soulful kids tend to be attracted to people like that, in my experience.
Kids.
And even if they don't get to know them, I've worked with so many young people, and they say, you know, they'll actually begin to talk about it. They'll say, I look at people and say, that person survived. That person, actually, that's an interesting person. A little weird, but they're interesting. Whether they are fully conscious of it or not, young people are looking for kind of creative survivors. Because they know it's not understood in the culture, but instinctively people know they're unique, and that's the important quality. And again, the heroic says that everybody's supposed to be a certain way. The non-heroic view is everybody is already who they're intended to be inside themselves if they just have a chance to grow that inner seed, which is by its nature soulful and weird and creative.
Yeah.
So we have just a little time left, and there's a I want to sort of look at an opportunity that I think we're being presented in this world turned upside down, in this world that seems utterly broken. And that is the notion that change, while necessary, and while we all look around and go, wow, everything needs to change, like everything needs to change, that we as a species are terrified of change. And that even in times of pain, holding on to something that is obviously not working because it's familiar, even if it's harmful, feels safer than letting go and risking change towards something that's healthy and good. And can you talk about that tendency and the opportunity of being in this broken world right now to maybe not suffer through a slower form, but to in fact use this as our green light to say we got to do something different?
Well, the way I think about it, and this is one of the things I work on in workshops, there's two things that make change possible. One is the awakening of some vision or something that says is, you know, there's a Hafez poem, something like, you know, the fish needs to wake up and say, there's something wrong with this camel ride and I'm really damn thirsty. In other words, the fish is like the soul going, wait a minute, you know, even three more months of this and I'm liable to dry out entirely. So there has to be the vision or the sense, the instinct that says, I need to change. And the amazing thing about the soul, what the soul wants to do is change everything. Just the way we think about the world, everything needs to change. That's the soulful kind of thing that says, I need to become as if a different person. And so that's the first move. But then in order for that to actually happen, something has to die or something has to be left behind, like this snake that sheds its old skin and comes out of it whole with a new skin and a new life. And it's that letting go, leaving something behind that is usually not understood. We're usually carrying like corpses our old sense of failure and our sense of, you know, self-loathing actually. And that's what has to be let go long enough for the vision to take root and for the soul to expand. And so that's the hardest thing. Culturally, it's like super hard. Come on, everybody knows what's going on isn't working. It's just, it's painful to watch what they're doing because there is no change coming from it. But letting go is apparently more painful. So that's the hardest thing, is to let go. And the only reason I can let go is because I can imagine my soul is bigger than my understanding of myself. And from that basis, I try to let go and step. And I also want to say that that's true at any age.
Right.
From the point of view of the soul, a person, even with their last breath, can let go. And the book, interestingly enough, ends with this feather floating down. It's called a feather of truth to the man who has sought truth his whole life, and he's dying on the ledge on a mountain. There's an old story from indigenous Africa. And he has sought truth his whole life, and now he realizes he may never really find it. And what comes floating down is a shining white feather from what's called the bird of truth. And with his last breath, he reaches up, and the feather of truth lands in his hand, and it signifies his connection to the cosmos that was kind of generated by his search for truth and meaning. So, you know. I don't know if that makes sense, but
I think it does.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that
plenty of sense.
We want to exhale at the end and say, I didn't remain the stuck person I was. I didn't give in to the kind of outside description of myself or the other people's expectations.
Right.
I actually shed some of that skin, and I expressed enough of my life that I wind up connected to the whole thing at the end.
Michael, thank you. I was not feeling well today. You have made me feel so much. Thanks for the healing. Much better. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah, we have to keep finding the antidotes. Everything outside is trying to turn us into someone other than who we are. That's the struggle we're in.
Mm. Michael Mead, thank you for joining us once again on Positively Revolting. We are so appreciative of your time this morning, and we hope to see you on the 27th.
I'll look forward to that. Good luck with everything.
Thanks
All right.
a lot, Michael.
Take good care. And we have just a few minutes to ask for your support for Positively Revolting this morning. Please make this your time to become a KABU member or renew your membership to KABU right now at 877-500-5266.
Yeah, you know, if that made you feel better too, what a great way to show your support for KABU.
Absolutely.
Give a call to 800-877.
It's
that.
A big sign.
Oh, 877-500-5266. Or go to kboo.fm. These are the places to go to call. Pick up one of those books if they still have them, and the tickets you have never. I don't know quite how to explain Michael's events, but they're soul magnifying. They're
deep and meaningful. I gotta say, deep, as somebody who has been to a couple,
deep, meaningful,
they are
and
deep
funny.
And meaningful.
That's I think that's his.
You gotta have
Irish
heart and humor,
gift.
Right?
I know he has a good Irish dark sense of humor. But 877-500-5266. If you have not made a contribution this morning, this is a great time to do it. If you started feeling better, you're going to feel even better. It's going to happen.
Isn't that true, Teresa?
Yeah, evidently this is true. I mean, evidently people are feeling better listening to Michael Mead because Ted and Sue and Helen and Greg and another Greg and Caitlin and Ira have all called in, and the phones are still ringing. So I love to be able to say, please be patient if you're calling in to KBOO right now. Because we're trying to answer these phones. I actually tried to answer one myself, and then I was confronted with a screen that said, you've been signed out and blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my God.
Okay, well,
so be patient.
Somebody beyond Teresa can help you.
Yes.
877-500-5266 is the number to call this morning. That's 877-500-5266. Or online at kboo.fm. And do please support Positively Revolting this morning, and support Lynn's return to the airwaves and Michael Mead's appearance in and return to our show as well. Celebrate your community and your connection to it by calling 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm.
You know what's funny is you meant to say Lynn's return to the airwaves and you said Portland.
I was pretty sure she did, but I was just going to let that go.
Did I say Portland's return to the airwaves? Wow.
But, you know, Lynn's
you never know
Portland.
What's going to come out of my mouth.
However, I don't know how much airtime we want to waste on that.
We're hardly wasting anything. But we are actually asking you right now to please come forward and be a KABU member this morning. Call us 877-500-5266. And do we have a copy of that book left?
I think so. Yeah, Michael Mead's book, call 877-500-5266. And everyone who calls in is going to be entered to win a pair of two theater guest passes and two medium popcorn passes from the Hollywood Theater and a $50 gift certificate to the Tin Shed Cafe. And I'll bet you can get some food there for $50. So all of that happens. And all it takes is you calling in 877-500-5266. I think we have a line open now, so you can get through 877-500-KABU, 877-500-5266. It's so encouraging to see Portland responding to Lynn and Ani and Michael Mead doing their thing. And, you know, this is how we've made it for 50 years, and it fires me up.
Absolutely.
877-500-5266. Fire me up some more. 877-500-KABU. 877-500-5266. Now, some of you are renewing and may want to bump it up to get your hoodie. It's time for you. Kieran, you waited long enough. You've been sustaining us with your $10 a month. Go to 25 and get a hoodie.
They are really kind of lovely, and it is the fall. So we know I have looked ahead in the weather,
rain
prognostications, and it actually looks like it'll feel like fall in the next few days. So you know you're going to want a hoodie, and you might as well have that hoodie say KABU on the front and the back, and it's lovely, and it's kind of plushy, and it's very warm.
I've got one, and I love it, and I wish I knew where it was because I'm afraid my cat's going to try to
never mind
do the cat
that.
Thing
so 877. 500-5266, the number to call, and give at the level you can afford to give. We want to thank you in any of a number of ways, and you know that the thanks you get every day is knowing that you are doing your part to better your community and your community radio station. So I'm going to leave you with that number one more time. Please call right now, become a member, and increase your monthly contribution if you've been doing that for a while.
Go
ahead and bump it a couple of bucks every month and see how you can impact your community here locally and the world around you. 877 500 5266.
KBOO's prize drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the drive prize drawings. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance for winning. The fall drive prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household per year will be accepted during the drive drawing period. Entries may be mailed with the aforementioned information to KBOO Radio, care of Membership Department, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, postmarked by September 22nd. Incomplete or late entries will not be accepted. Winner will be determined in a random drawing on Thursday, October 4th. Winner will be notified by telephone, mail, or email after Monday, October 8th. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions, and for the names of the winners, go to kboo.fm/fall2018drawing. And thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of History and Strategy of German Anti-Fascism on Saturday, September 8th, 7 p.m. at Cider Riot in Portland. Organized anti-fascist resistance is necessary. It's useful to take a look at different experiences built from movements in other countries. The speakers will present the major strategies, struggles, and theories of the German anti-fascist movement from 1932 to the present. Again, that's History and Strategy of German Anti-Fascism on Saturday, September 8th, 7 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
KBOO Community Radio.